Well, thank you for allowing me to speak tonight. My plan was to speak from the book of Acts, chapter 5, and the text will be dealing with the importance of obedience. Now, again, when I studied for this, I was the one who needed to study this, and I'm hoping that someone here, or all of you, will also feel the need to see the importance of obedience. And rather, oh, he is in the back, isn't he? Oh, okay. I was going to demonstrate obedience by asking Brother Richard to come forward and read my scripture. Is he still able to do that? All right. This is a little bit out of the ordinary, and we didn't rehearse this. But I believe that God sometimes puts us on the spot. Amen? And we have to answer that call. So, brother, you'll have to remove your mask when you get here. Acts chapter 5. I'll give you the verses. Acts chapter 5, beginning with verse 17 and reading to the verse 32. We all stand, please, in reverence to God's word.
Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, "Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, "The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, that we found no man within." Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, "Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council and the high priest and asked them, saying, "Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. Then the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him that hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witness of these things, and so is also also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them and obey him."
Thank you. See, now there was a twofold reason why I did that. That was to, please be seated. That was to demonstrate obedience. Here, Brother Richard was being obedient to an elder of the church who called him forward to do something. And he responded. Didn't make a face. Didn't look strange at me, but he responded. And this is exactly how we are to respond to the Lord when he calls us to do something. So thank you, Brother Richard. Now, as far as the importance of obedience. You know, my heart was warmed last week when we had four young people come forward for baptism. And that was an act of faith on their part, because salvation is an act of faith. Amen? But baptism is an act of obedience. And I know people who have been, say they're Christians, and have not been baptized with believer's baptism. So when they had the opportunity to display or demonstrate obedience to the Lord, they did not do that. So whereas salvation is an act of faith, baptism is an act of obedience. However, the act of baptism should not be the last act of obedience that someone does. And unfortunately, you see that sometimes, where a person will get saved, genuinely saved, where they will be baptized in obedience to the Scriptures, and then they feel like, well, I've done everything required of me. And maybe they don't even join the church. Maybe they don't even step up to do any sort of work in the church, any service in the church. Maybe they're not obedient in different areas of their life. So obedience is necessary throughout the Christian life. Amen? So, you know, we all love that beautiful hymn, Trust and Obey, right? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Well, it says that the Christian railroad runs on two tracks, trust and obey. Trust and obey. Now, we have to ask ourselves, do I obey God in all things? Or do I just obey God when I feel like it? Do I just obey God when it's convenient for me? You know, disobedience in small things is a big thing to God. Let me say that again. Disobedience in small things, which we think we can do because it's a small thing, but disobedience in small things is a big thing to God. I'll give you an illustration. I was reading once, this pastor was giving his story, and it's true in this pastor's life, but it's true in my life, and I'm sure it's true in every parent's life here. He had a little boy, was probably more than a toddler, maybe a four-year-old, and he was playing in the living room, and he had his toys in the middle of the living room, and it was time to go to bed. And the father told his son, "Son, take your toys and put them away." And the son said, "No." You've had that happen, haven't you? I've had that happen. You know, how many of you remember Dr. Dobson and Focus on the Family, right? And he gave a lesson once about the compliant child and the rebellious child. Well, I had one of each. But the compliant child will jump up and put those toys away. The rebellious child will say, "No." Well, the father looked at him again and said, "Son, you put those toys away." And again, he got even stauncher and he said, "No." So he says to the wife who was standing on the side there, "He's going to get a spanking." And the wife says, "Well, isn't it kind of a small thing to spank little Johnny for just not putting his toys away?" And he says, "I'm not going to spank little Johnny for not putting his toys away. I'm going to spank little Johnny for disobeying his father." And that's how God looks at our disobedience. It's not over the one act of disobedience so much as it is disobedience to God, even in the small things, even in the small things. Disobedience to God is a sin. It's a sin when we disobey God. And in the Bible, it's actually equated, disobedience is actually equated to the sin of idolatry. And you say, "Wow, I never heard that before." Well, I can give you many scriptures. I won't, but I can show you in the Old Testament where disobedience is equated to idolatry. And you say, well, idolatry, what is idolatry in biblical terms? Well, idolatry really is something that we love more, something that we honor more, and something that we serve more than God. So if we love something more than God, if we're serving something more than God, and we know we can think of our jobs and so many other areas of our life that we give our time and effort and money to, and we put God behind that, well, that is an act of idolatry. And even honoring, we honor things more than we honor God in our lives. So that is idolatry. And all of those will lead to a spirit of disobedience, which God hates, which God is desire that we obey Him at His first command. Now, I haven't always been obedient to God. I mean, I can't lie to you, especially if my wife is sitting there, which she is. So I have not always been obedient to God. And sometimes we don't even realize that we are being disobedient to God. You know, we say, well, we'll put this off. God has asked us or told us or commanded us to do something. And we say, I will do it, you know, at my leisure. I'll do it some other time when it's more convenient. Well, you know, that's disobedience. So we ask ourselves, what does God require of me as far as our disobedience? You know, obedience to our Lord is a debt. Get this, because when I read this, it really hit me between the eyes. Obedience to God is a debt that is owed to God. Look at verse, no, brother read all those verses, and I'm going to go back to some of them. But I want to look at verses 31 and 32. When I say that obedience is to our Lord is a debt to be honored. Now, we know that we can never repay for what the Lord has done for us. We know that. And the Lord doesn't expect us to repay in kind what He has done for us. But look at verse 31. And He's speaking here. And I believe that this high priest could very well have been Caiaphas, the high priest. And Caiaphas, what he had done was, these people, these apostles, were preaching in the temple. They were preaching in that name. The high priest couldn't even call it upon himself to name the name of Jesus. He says, stop preaching. We told you not to preach in that name. The name of Jesus. So I believe this was Caiaphas. And we see here that in verse 29, it says, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And we'll see by reading a little further that there was a price to pay for that. They had already paid a price. There's going to be more payment required. But when I said that obedience is a debt to be honored, read verse 31. Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are His witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God had given to them that obey Him. So we see here that there is a debt that we need to pay back. When the Lord asks us to do something for Him in any capacity, you know, we can look at it as honoring a debt that we know. What is that saying, that He paid a debt that we could not pay, and I paid a debt I could not. Well, I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt that He did not owe. I get a little bit confused there. But anyway, you know what I'm getting at. Amen. So when we think about that, so there is a debt that we owe. And it's honoring to God when we go ahead and pay some of that debt back. Although the Lord knows we cannot pay that debt in full. But we owe it to Him to do these things. You know, the next time you're writing a check for your tithe, think about that. The next time someone comes and asks you to do something in the church, think about that. The next time you're called to witness in a situation, think about that. You know, instead of being embarrassed or feeling that it's not the right time, place, or circumstance, think about the debt that you owe to the Lord Jesus Christ. So here, so what does God expect of me? What does God expect of you? What is required of me? Is probably a better way of putting it. So, well, you know, to be informed by His Word, in order to understand what the Lord has done for you and I, we need to get into His Word and enter into the fullness of what the Lord has done for you and I. So that, you know, that is one of the requirements that the Lord asks us to do, to get into His Word, to read about Him. Someone has said that you'll find the Lord Jesus on every page of Scripture, and I believe that to be true. If we look for Him. The next thing that He asks us to do in our obedience is to be immediate in our response. You know, some of us are very good at procrastinating, aren't we? Right? Why do today that you can put off to do tomorrow? So procrastination is a sin. And when God asks us to do something, He wants us to do it in quick response. He wants us to do it immediately. Now, the actual doing of it may require it to be done over a period of time, but our response should be what? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So to get into His Word is one requirement, so that we can know the Savior that we're serving and what He has done for us. And that motivates. You know, we all need motivation, from the littlest to the oldest. We need to be motivated to do things. What greater motivation is there than reading God's Word and finding out exactly what He has done for us? Through the pages of history, we see it. In our own lives, we see it. And then we need to be resolute in our obedience. What do you mean by resolute? Well, you know, turn to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 24. And this is an interesting occurrence in the life of David. And let's start with verse number 18. Well, let me give you a little background here so we know where we're going here. This was a happening in David's life when he numbered his army. He numbered Israel. And he was not supposed to do that. God had not commanded him to number Israel, but he did it. And because he disobeyed God, God sent a plague. And, you know, we read here, let me read verse 18 first. Seeing how David was obedient to God. First, he was disobedient. Like you and I, sometimes we're disobedient. But David was obedient. And he says here in verse 18, and Gad was a prophet or a seer whom David depended upon. He had access to God, direct access to God. He was a prophet. And Gad came that day to David and said unto him, go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Arauna, the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. So he's obedient. And Arauna looked and saw the king and his servants coming toward him. And Arauna went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. So he was giving obeisance to King David, who was a greater king. And Arauna said, wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, to buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Arauna said unto David, Let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice, and threshing instruments, and other instruments of the oxen for wood. All these things that Araunah, as a king, give unto the king. And Araunah said unto the king, The Lord thy God accept thee. And the king said unto Araunah, Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed upon Israel. So here David, in his disobedience to God in numbering his army, numbering Israel, the Lord sent a plague. And look what David says in verse number 10. Because, you know, here's a demonstration by David that our obedience must always be from the heart, not lukewarm. So when the Lord asks us to do something, it should be with a heart that is towards the Lord. It should be heartfelt. It shouldn't be lukewarm. A lukewarm response is, you know, what did the Lord say about the church being lukewarm? He spewed out of his mouth, right? Lukewarm is not something that the Lord is going to entreat. So look at David in verse number 10. And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. For when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, Go and say unto David, Thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So he gave David three choices. And David, of course, chose to be chastised of the Lord, which was a good choice. But David knew that he had offended God, that he was being disobedient. And in his disobedience, his heart, his conscience bothered him. And he went to the Lord. And now we see the response here. So verse number 25 actually shows us that God is pleased with our obedience. He's pleased when we obey him. Don't you want to please the Lord? Don't you want to try and please the Lord every opportunity he gives you to do something for him? Yes, I'll answer that for you. So are there rewards for obeying God? You know, we all like to receive something when we do something right. We have some young ones here. When you do something right, you want to be rewarded for that, right? And good parents will probably learn to do that. Now, that's motivation, and kids like rewards, even if it's a small thing. Well, you know what? God gives out rewards also. Well, one of the things that he gives is spiritual power to us, and he blesses us. Spiritual power and blessing. Where? Well, what about in our prayer life? Do you want to have a spiritually powerful prayer life? Well, then learn to be obedient in the things that God is impressing upon it. Even in circumstances, when we're obedient to God, God wants to reward us in our circumstances. So when, you know, if your day is not going well, you pray to God in spiritual Holy Ghost power. I can say that, right? And in spiritual Holy Ghost power, you know, not in, oh, Lord, you know, well, I know you're busy, but if you can, please. No, we want to pray. Well, yes, boldly. I was looking for another word, but we want to pray effusively, you know, get it out there. And the Lord is looking down upon you and saying, yes, I want to respond to that prayer. You're my obedient servant. I want to do this for you. So even in our relationships, when we are obedient to God, we are seen in such a light that God is even going to bless our relationships one with another. You know, when have you ever walked around and seen some Christians who look very unhappy, very down? They seem not to have any joy in their life. Well, look in the mirror and make sure you're not one of them. I look in the mirror and I say, you know, especially in the morning, I can hardly see myself. But you want to be able to have a countenance about you. I'm a child of God. You know, I've got a wonderful future before me. It doesn't matter what this day is going to bring to me. I have a beautiful future in front of me. So make sure that joy that you have. We're going to look at the joy that the apostles had, even in their suffering. But that all stems out of being obedient to God. So this could be a reason why so many Christians seem to stumble in their walk with the Lord. Is they're not living an obedient life before God. Am I ringing anybody's bell here this evening? I said when I studied this, I said, Lord, this is for me. I have to make sure that I obey you in all things. In all things, not just the big things. You know, we know what the big things could be, right? You young people, I hope you're praying right now for a spouse, a godly spouse. For some of you are praying for a job. Some of you have just went through a move. Is the Lord behind that move? Looking to make a major purchase. Is the Lord behind that? Do I want to be obedient? Is the Lord asking me to do something within the confines of this church, no matter what it is? You know, the light bulbs are going out back there. Is God talking to someone here? Maybe. Is he talking to me? I'm not good on ladders, so I'll take a pass on that. So maybe part of their lack of joy maybe is because they're out of obedience. They're outside of obeying God. Maybe they don't see the need. Maybe you don't see the need to obey God in all things. But we need to obey God in all things. Let's go back to the book of Acts, chapter 5, to remind you. So we saw from the Old Testament David's act of obedience and what it resulted in. I mean, his act of disobedience caused great damage to the nation. A plague came upon the people. So we know that God was dissatisfied with David's disobedience. But then we see that when David became obedient to God and he was resolute, there's that word again, he was resolute, he was not going to offer God something that did not cost him anything. He would not do that. And, you know, it's easy for me to volunteer my brother John to do something. Oh, that's easy for me to do that. What about me doing that, right? It's easy for me to volunteer you, but what about me? So we need to be resolute. You don't want to offer anything to the Lord that does not cost you something. And sometimes the cost can be high. Sometimes it's a small cost. Maybe the cost is just writing out a larger check every Sunday or every time you tithe. Or maybe it's being more obedient to the Lord and serving Him in the church. Or being more friendlier to your relations. And not only the church people, but your relations outside the circle here. So if we look now back in the book of Acts, verse number 41. You know, disobedient Christians are not joyful Christians, because they don't possess the joy that God wants to give them. How can God will not bless a person that is in disobedience to Him? He will not do that. He will not do that. So another benefit of being obedient to God is increasing our faith. It increases our faith. When we're obedient to God, and God is blessing us, it's like the little child that does something for the father or the parent, and the parent gives him something. Well, he's going to want to be able to do something more. Is there anything else I can do for you, Dad? You know, because he's looking for more. He's looking for a bigger reward. He's looking for another reward. So one of the things is that it increases our faith. Look at verse 41. Excuse me. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. So here they were put into prison for teaching in that name. Okay. Now, God has a sense of humor. Trust me, he does. Because we see here that while they were in prison, God sends an angel to free them. And not only does he free them, but he's able to take them, lead them outside the prison doors. The angel closes the door behind them. He locks it again. And he's able to pass them right by the guards. And the guards don't even know that these apostles are now free. Because it says here that when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut, and all safety, and the keepers standing without the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now, God has a sense of humor there. These guards, they go, and they want to bring out the prisoners. They're not there. Not only that, how could they escape? The prison doors are still shut. And the guards that were set said no one passed them by. So God is able to do wonderful things. Amen. He's able to do miraculous things. So here we see that one of the benefits, of course, is increased faith. When we obey God, the Holy Spirit now is able to work in our life. And then because he can work, we start to receive the fruit of the Spirit. Right? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. We have that starting to build up and work in us. All of those wonderful fruits that we all desire. We all desire. And another thing in obeying God is that the Word of God somehow becomes more believable. You know, there's sometimes we scratch our heads saying, well, you know, doubt will move in and say, well, you know, the scientists say that the earth is like billions of years old. But the Bible says, you know, maybe like 8,000. How could that be? Well, you know, God can make an old earth. You ever think about that? God can make an old earth. He can make an earth that looks to the scientists as if it's billions of years old. But in reality, it's maybe only 8,000 years old. So don't worry, guys, when or girls, when your teacher is telling you things like that, pay no mind to them. They don't know. Their theories don't compare to the truth of the Bible. So if, and finally, just let me say this, my time is running out. I thought I was going to be done quicker than this, but there is no statute of limitations on our obedience to God. Let me say that again. There is no statute of limitations on obeying God. You know, some of our laws, civil laws, and even criminal laws have a statute of limitations, right? In 20 years, you might be able to get away with robbing the bank that you robbed 10 years ago. There is no statute of limitations on obeying God. That means that if God has told you to do something yesterday or last week or years ago, he still wants you to do that. And if the opportunity is still there to do that, do it. You may have declined to do something years ago, but you can always go back and say, you know what? I declined to do that years ago, but there's no statute of limitations on my being obedient to God. So whatever God is asking you to do, do it, whether it was yesterday or years ago. You know, David had many faults. And the one thing about the Bible, it gives David's faults and warts and everything else about him right there. right there in the Bibles. Doesn't cover up for David. David had many faults. But he also acted out of faith. He acted in obedience. And just let me say upon closing that your one act of faith can cover a lifetime of faults. Your one act of faith can cover a lifetime of faults. So I'm looking out, and I'm probably preaching to the choir as usually on Sunday evenings. But if there is someone here this evening that has not acted in faith to receive that salvation, that one act of faith can cover all your sins. Can cover all your sins. Now, that's an offer you cannot refuse. How can someone refuse that kind of an offer? And also, if you've been digging in your heels for many years regarding obeying God in some area of your life, maybe now, maybe today, because you've heard the word, maybe today is the day that you want to say, Lord, I don't want to live in disobedience anymore. I want the blessings. I want all that water flowing down on me from the heavenlies. And I want to be bathing in that glorious water, the water of life, all those blessings. I want that, Lord. But he's not going to do it if you're being disobedient to him. Tonight might be that day when you bow yourself and say, Lord, I'm going to be obedient now from this time forward. I've resisted your call in the past in this area or in that area. Today it changes. Tonight it changes. Tomorrow is a new day for me. So